Mic on.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. Now we present Winter Blind Camp 2021 for Friday afternoon, February 5th.
Mic off.
Today, this afternoon, we're going to have a seminar on how to avoid depression. Dr. Alan Patterson, we're so happy that you're here today. At this time, we'll have the song service, and then we'll go on from there.
Let's turn in our hymnals to page 329, Take the World But Give Me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love. Pledge of endless life above. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll. Oh, the of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Take the world, but give me Jesus, let me view his constant smile, then throughout my pilgrim's journey, light will cheer. Cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above. Let's turn over to the next page, 330, Take My Life and Let It Be. And let it be consecrated, Lord. turn in our hymnals to page 334, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He who rescued me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind me closer still to thee. Prone to for thy courts above. All right, let's turn in our hymnals to page 412, our theme song, Covered with His Life. Look upon Jesus, sinless is he. Father, impute his life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his life whiter than snow. Covered with his life whiter than snow, fullness of his life then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his life whiter than snow.
There was one other time that we had a blind camp that we had this as our theme song. We had Elder Rob Roberto was our camp pastor. He, at that time, he was the pastor of the Fenton Seventh-day Adventist Church. Bernardo. Okay, what did I say? Bernardo. Rob Bernardo. Okay. Anyway, so what we did was we had our camp right over at 812 Academy Road, which is just around the corner from here. And I have about 2 acres there. So I thought, well, we'll just pitch some tents in the backyard. And I thought maybe we'd have a dozen blind campers there. Well, we ended up with 5. So we didn't really need all those tents. So we just took them in the house. And that's where we camped, right in the house. And so we went up to Frankenmuth. And up there at Frankenmuth, not too far out of town to the west, northwest of Frankenmuth, there's a quarter size railroad there. Oh. Yeah. Anything that was an inch, it was a quarter inch, you know. And so we took a ride and down into a park. We had our picnic lunch. And then we took our ride, you know, did some exercising after lunch, and then took a ride back out. And then we went down to Frankenmuth to the museum there. They had some nice hands-on things there that we could use. And then we went down to Crossroads Village. And they had a big paddle boat up and down the Flint River that we went on. And they had a merry-go-round there, and they had a big Ferris wheel there. And then they had the original Cadillac plant there in the village. And so we took that on, and then they had a grist mill there where they ground flour, and you could actually buy flour from the grist mill there. That they had a paddle wheel on the river, you know, and it made everything turn on the mill, so that they could do that. And then to top it all off for the week, we went to the Linden Seventh-day Adventist Church. They had church at 9:30 in the morning, and Pastor Rob preached to us. And then we, after church, we went on to Battle Creek and And that was a really good time. But this was our theme, cover with his life, way back then. And it's still the same theme that we need to think about every day, is to be covered with his life. Okay, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, today we thank you so much for thy love and care for us. We thank thee that Dr. Alan Patterson is with us today. We ask that thou fill him with the Holy Spirit. We ask that thou just be with each of our campers as they participate in this program and help us to be ready for the Sabbath when it comes, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, David is going to do something on the saw. This is a handsaw that you can cut boards off with, but you don't have to cut boards off with it. You can play music on it. So he's going to play us something. Thank you. That saw was David's grandpa's saw. And one day he saw a man in church playing a saw. And he says, I want to do that. So he got a saw. He started practicing and he started playing the saw. So, and then David, he saw his grandpa playing the saw, and so he wanted to do that. Well, grandpa says, whoever learns to play that saw, they can have that saw when I'm done with it. And so David got that. That was his inheritance to play. Well, Dr. Patterson, we appreciate you coming, and we'll turn the rest of the time over to you.
Hello. It's Friday. We made it through the week pretty much. So today is the fifth lecture on depression. And we've talked about many different things. And another reminder again, first let me ask, how many people are doing real good on their not saying anything negative? Good. You're doing real good on it right now? Okay, good. Good, good. So, like I say, we've talked about many things, and the most important thing is if you feel you need a change, and then the important thing is to go about making that change, preparing yourself for that change, putting things in place that will help you make the change and help you maintain that new change in your life for an improvement. So,
well, I'm prepared for changes in my life too.
Okay, good. So today we're going to talk primarily about addictions, choices, addictions, change, learning what to do, getting ready to do it, and then doing it. And addictions do play a very important part in depression. Like I've mentioned a couple times already, that the frontal lobe is typically the area of the brain where we deal with addictions, and it's also an important part of the brain in dealing with depression. So you can't really have addictions and have a healthy frontal lobe. So it's important to get that healthy frontal lobe to deal with depression and that. So steps in dealing with a change, dealing with a change in addiction, pre-contemplation, that's actually before you've actually started to think about it, before you've recognized that you want to or need to make a change. And then contemplation, you're beginning to think about it and probably be a good idea. And then your next step would be preparation, where you're putting things in place, maybe getting support set up and things like that. And then the next step would be action, where you actually make the move to stop the addictive habit or event. And then the last step here listed is discontinuation. And hopefully we don't get into that. Hopefully we've made that change and we've continued with not doing what we don't want to or shouldn't be doing. One of the biggest addictions dealing with depression is alcohol addiction. Alcohol is a depressant of itself, so it's kind of a 1-2 punch for somebody that has depression and also is addicted to alcohol consumption. And it actually inhibits or impairs the frontal lobe of the brain first. That's its first stop. So you can see that by using alcohol, it impairs the frontal lobe and impairs it quickly. Marijuana use also lends towards depression. And tobacco smokers are twice as likely to be depressed. And in fact, I've talked to some people, and they've told me that when they were young, and the people that I talked to used to go to the bars, and I guess they like to pick up ladies there, and they said that they targeted smokers because smokers had a lower self-esteem and they were easier to pick up than non-smokers. So some interesting things about people that smoke. Again, not that it's 100%, but other risk factors with addictions are cancer, heart disease. And caffeine is also an addictive substance. Other illicit drug users, obviously addictions. Now, if you're going to stop, or someone is going to stop using alcohol, narcotics, or benzodiazepines, they may need medical help. People can and do die from alcohol withdrawal. It's harder, medically, it's harder to withdraw from alcohol than it is cocaine. So if you know someone or that is going to stop, wants to stop taking alcohol, they need to make sure that someone is aware to watch them and notice if they start having problems with the withdrawal process. Temperance, it's not a word that's used commonly, but back years ago, actually, they had a lot of temperance societies. And temperance is the moderate use of healthy substances. And it's the complete abstinence of unhealthy substances. I find it interesting how we think, because so many people will use or eat unhealthy foods or unhealthy substances. And if you ask them about it, they'll say, well, I like it, and it's not all bad. But it's interesting, though, if I gave somebody a glass of water and I said, now, I've got just a little bit of strychnine in here. Do you want to drink this water? Well, people are going to say, no way, that's poison, Doc. What are you doing? That's ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. But yet we will, like I said, drink liquids that are not healthy and eat foods that are not healthy. So really, we should do our best to not take anything into our body that's not healthy. If, again, my wife is very particular. Every now and then you leave something in the refrigerator too long and it gets a little bit of white fuzzy stuff on top. And I tell her, well, I'll just scrape that off. No, throw the whole thing out. Right. So again, complete abstinence from unhealthy substances. And the other day I had told you about entertainment TV being addictive. And it is. The internet can be addictive. Unfortunately, I'm addicted to the computer at work because I do so much of my work on the computer at work. But the internet, Facebook, and all these different things. And again, I'm not saying that those are bad and that you shouldn't do them, but we do need to be careful that we don't overdo them. There's a lot of good things on the internet and Facebook, like I say, like a lot of things, can be good or it can be bad. So I just, you know, if you're forgetting to do your work and your other responsibilities that you have because you're on Facebook, then you're probably overdoing it. But otherwise, common characteristics of an addiction: an overwhelming compulsion to continually use. I have to get at it. I have to do this. I have to drink this. I have to use this. It's just an overwhelming compulsion, kind of like food. We have an overwhelming compulsion to eat every 4 or 5 hours. another, and so yes, we are addicted to eating, I guess, maybe you could say, but another characteristic is the need for increasing amounts. The amount that I had last week isn't cutting it anymore. I need to bump that up, and it just progressively increases. A dependence on it. When you don't use it, when you don't have it, you go through a withdrawal and a high tendency to relapse. Detrimental effects on you or society. When you use this, when you do this, you're just not yourself. Most addictions will have at least one of these characteristics. And compulsive behaviors cannot use addictive substances in moderation. So some people, I've talked to different people when I would admit them to the hospital, and I would ask them different questions, and I always ask them if they used alcohol, because if they were somebody that used alcohol on a regular basis and they get in the hospital and they aren't using it, they could go through withdrawals. And so we wanted to be aware of that. And I had some people say, oh, I can have a drink at a wedding or something, you know, or if I'm at a barbecue, I can have a beer or something, and that's all they have. And other people will tell me that they can't drink like that at all, and that's okay. But the point is, a compulsive behavior cannot really control their addictive substance use. So that's why they have to be careful with that, obviously. An occasional use of an addictive substance just keeps that desire alive. You're further ahead to make a complete separation from it. Now, somebody that says that they have an alcoholic drink rarely and occasionally, while I don't agree or support that necessarily, I can't really argue with them and tell them that medically that's not safe. But some people, like I say, can't use it occasionally and just put it down and not pick it up again. So, and I recommend, if you have more than one addictive habit, I recommend getting rid of it at the same time. Kind of like when you pull off a Band-Aid, if you pull it off fast, it's over right away. And in a way, if you have two addictive behaviors, if you try and stop just one at a time, remember it's weakening the frontal lobe. So if you maintain one addictive habit and try to stop the other one, you're not getting a good, your frontal lobe is still weakened and still susceptible to the addictive behavior. So you're going to have a better outcome if you stop them at the same time. And quite often, addictive behaviors are kind of linked together. I've talked to different people that have wanted to stop smoking and stop drinking caffeine. And they'll tell me sometimes that when they have a cup of coffee, they want a cigarette with it. So that's another reason why it would be good to stop them both at the same time. I think you'll, most of the time they'll have much better success with it. So it's a choice to kick the habit, to stop the addiction. When you decide, again, prepare yourself. So if you were deciding to quit smoking, get rid of all your cigarettes. Don't keep some just in case. I've talked to some people, I kept a pack in the glove box just in case I had a craving. Well, you're preparing yourself for failure, not preparing yourself for success at that point. Do some deep breathing. That'll help you when you have that urge. Do some deep breathing. Do your daily exercise. Make sure you get plenty of rest, because when we're tired, we are weaker and more susceptible. And get more water inside drinking to flush out the system. And also make sure you stay nice and clean, because there's actually going to be some nicotine in the body, and as you sweat and go through the day, some of that will come out on the skin, so washing it off will help. Avoiding spicy foods will, that can be a trigger for smoking. And avoiding other smokers. I have had different people in the past where one spouse would want to quit smoking. And occasionally, not all the time, and I'm glad it wasn't all the time, but occasionally when they would come back to follow up with me, they would say, oh, it's just terrible because my spouse will come home and they will light up a cigarette and they will actually blow the smoke right in my face. So avoiding other smokers and, you know, again, that's all part of helping yourself out to avoid it. And if you are around other smokers, typically they'll be very glad to lend you a cigarette if you don't have one. So that's another reason why you want to stay away from them. So, again, overcoming the addiction, the habit. And one thing I've told people for a long time, any addiction that they're trying to get rid of, get a picture of something you like more than the addiction and put it on your refrigerator, put it on your medicine cabinet mirror in your bathroom so that through the day you're looking at something and saying, this is more important to me than my addiction. I had a patient years ago, he didn't have an addiction necessarily, but he did not have his diabetes under control. His sugar was very, very poorly controlled. And every time I would see him, I would say, we've got to get your blood sugars under control. Oh, doc, I work second shift. It's so hard. Doc, you just don't get it. I just can't. I'm okay. I'm not worried about it. Well, one day I opened the door to the exam room, and as I stepped inside, he almost literally grabbed me by the front of my coat and said, doc, I've got to get my blood sugars under control. And I about fell to the floor, and I'm like, well, what caused this change? What happened? And he said, well, I retired, and I looked at my grandkids, and I said, I want to be around for my grandkids. Now, he had been around them before. It wasn't like they had just moved into town or anything, but for some reason, when he retired, he recognized his grandchildren and his desire to be a part of their life for as long as he could. So he found something that was more valuable to him than not controlling his blood sugars. So, and the same thing with an addictive habit. Finding something that's more important to you than whatever that habit is. Okay?
Smoking isn't a good thing, but there is health benefits from it. It helps with seizures, it helps with fibromyalgia, and it can even help with your sugar. Mm-hmm. If you're eating like an edible, keep your sugar under control. And I've never seen anybody that really was depressed that did it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I haven't had a lot of experience with marijuana users, and I can't disagree with you that there are some benefits. There could be some benefits to them. You have some patients that have chronic pain issues, and a lot of people have told me they help with that. So if you're using marijuana in a medicinal way and making sure it's well controlled, then it's essentially like so many other medications that we have. A lot of the pain medications are narcotics and that.
As far as I'm concerned, the marijuana is a lot better than the pills that the doctor prescribes to people, like the Oxycontins, the morphine, the Vicodins, because all them pills will just eat your liver up. The marijuana does help with pain.
Yeah. And different people have differing opinions. The important thing is whether you use the marijuana or the medications prescribed, is that you're using them in a controlled way.
Right.
So, again, I don't dispute the fact that they work. And I do know people in general can find a reason to do what they like, but not a reason to do what they don't like. And that can be dangerous ground. Again, I'm not saying I've seen myself do it. I've seen other people do it. Not necessarily with something that's bad, but I tell my wife every now and then when she wants money for a new dress, I said, we can't afford that. I've got to get a new camo outfit for hunting, you know, and kind of that thought process, like I say. So if you are going to use marijuana for a medicinal purpose, then you need to make sure that it's controlled and used appropriately in that way, and not just as an excuse to use marijuana.
It really does help people with seizures quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because I know a guy that was taking seizure medication, and when he was 18 years old, he quit the seizure medication, and he started using the marijuana and controls his seizures.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and that's good. And
any health benefits to drinking regular coffee, like one or two cups a day?
Not coffee. I don't know of any health benefit for that.
What else so. I've heard too is you should replace the bad habit with a good habit.
And that's a very reasonable thing to do, because if you create a vacuum, then something is going to fill that blank spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I don't get is where you have these commercials say drink responsibly. I haven't heard a person drinking responsibly.
Well, I have talked to people that do drink responsibly, and like I say, because of that, I don't say that everybody should go ahead and try drinking, because I can't tell you. I truly feel there are people out there that have addictive personalities, and they may not have any addiction now, but I've talked to some people that have grown up in families that smoke, and they smoke now. And I've talked to other people that have grown up in families that smoked, and they don't smoke and can't stand it. So I think sometimes we have a physiological part of us that has an addictive personality to it. So I can't tell you, I could take 100 people, line them up, and give them each a drink of alcohol, and some of them would be hooked on it from one drink. And some of them would spit it out and say, I can't stand this stuff. I don't ever want to touch it again. So so I can't really tell that way. But
I agree with you. That is a depressant. Drinking does really mess with, you know.
Yeah.
It messes with a person's ability to think of what they're doing. You know, they can have like blackouts.
Mm-hmm.
And, I've seen a lot of depressed people that drink.
Yeah.
Right there, I agree with that 100%.
Yeah. So... And truly, to stop an addictive habit or activity, you truly need a spiritual assistance.
Amen.
You may be able to stop it in front of your spouse or in front of your parents or your children and hide it from them, but to truly stop it, we need a higher power than ourselves. It's because it is so... hard to make that change. And that is the end of the lecture today. It was a relatively short one. Any other questions?
You agree with me on the pills. They will eat your liver up quick.
They can. There are, and every medication that we take, from aspirin to zinc, whether you buy it over the counter or whether you're giving a prescription, they all have potential side effects.
Yes.
And like anything else, some people can take medication. I've talked to people that have drank every day for over 20, 30 years, and their liver is perfectly healthy. And other people have drank like half as much, and their liver is shot. And the same thing can be with the medication. But Dave, you're exactly right. There is no medication that you can take that doesn't have any possible side effects.
Like I take Respirol.
Well, as far as the drinkers go, I've seen a lot of people that drink beer, and they, you know, they can go a lot of years and their liver will be fine. But if they start drinking the hard alcohol, that really attacks the liver. And it all has to do with how they eat too. Because a lot of people drink and they don't think of eating, and they, you know.
Yeah.
I do not have anything really good to say about drinking. Yeah. I've had bad experiences with it. Mm-hmm. I agree it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and medications, we should be very careful. If you need to be on medications, then you need to be on medications. But there's a lot of things that we can do that may be a lifestyle change that will decrease or possibly even eliminate the need for medication. So, and unfortunately today in modern medicine and in our society in the U.S., we advertise and promote that you don't have to worry about changing the way you eat or changing your activity levels. You can just take a pill and that'll take care of your problem. So.
I'm on medication too, Dr. Patterson, and I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is that I have some behavior issues at home.
Yeah.
I have a temper tantrum. I always want to get my own way, which, you know, I shouldn't do. I have stuff like that, you know. Sometimes I bug people and I shouldn't be bugging them, you know, and this and that and the other thing. And that's why I'm on medication.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, one thing that will help you with that, Warren, the temper tantrum and having a negative attitude, is the Lord will help you get that attitude out of your system. The more you accept the Lord, the more you study with the Bible and watch 3ABN, and just a lot of good things there. It has a good effect on you, and it will help take that temper away.
I do agree, because I think when David listens to 3ABN, I should be down there listening to it. If he's got something good on that he likes, I should be down there listening to it. Mm-hmm. Because I think it would do me a bit of good. I think it would.
I know I've heard one of my friends tell me that if I had a better relationship with God, I wouldn't need medications.
Mm-hmm. Well, and truly our lifestyle can and does impact our physical and mental health. And depending on what you have and how bad you have it, may open up options for other than medical treatment. But and sometimes we need to transition too as we're changing our lifestyle and doing things that are better for us, more healthy for us, either physically or mental health, either one. And you know, I think we need to be aware of that as physicians and as patients, really. Like I mentioned, that younger guy that came into my office at one time, and he knew he was depressed, but he didn't want to take medication. So he was willing to try an alternative therapy than the traditional medications. So I know one time I had a patient, and usually when I did an annual exam on my patients, I would suggest during the exam that they eat a vegetarian diet. And I typically left it at that. I didn't tell them I expected them not to eat any meat. The next time I saw them, they would be meat-free or anything. But it was really interesting with this one patient, because when I said it, he says, "No way." And I said, "That's fine." And I went on and was talking to him about some other things. And then he stopped me a minute or so later, and he said, "What does a vegetarian eat?" And I said, "Well, that's interesting. You said you didn't want to do it, and you don't even know what they eat or don't eat." So, but truly, as we live life, try and get rid of the bad things in our life and try and replace them with good things. And if we do, sometimes, you know, when you're 15, 20, 25, you're pretty healthy and you usually don't have very many medications, if any. And so sometimes if we don't take good care of our body, we eat too much salt, we don't do enough exercise, whatever, then we start to get blood pressure issues, maybe cholesterol issues. And when we start to get those, if instead of just asking for whatever flavor pill will take care of that problem, seeing what we can do to clean up our life and not have to take the medication. Because again, David is spot on. Every medication, even ones that are very, very safe, still can and do have potential side effects. So if you can avoid it, then you don't have to worry about the side effects at all. So
I do agree with that, though, that as far as your eating habits, you can change your blood pressure by quitting eating certain foods, eat more fruits, eat more vegetables, eat more grains, and ensure quit eating meat if you want to, but if you eat some kinds of meat, make sure you don't eat as much of it. And yeah, there's a lot of people that completely, one time I was, they said I might have prostate cancer, and I was eating a lot of meat and stuff, and then I went to eating more vegetables, more fruits, and a little bit less meat, and eat more grains, and then I went in and got tested a month later, and there was no signs of that.
Yeah. Yeah, we know, it's interesting to me, again, some of the medical information that we know, but we don't share it with anybody. Because eating meat actually does increase your risk for prostate cancer, colon cancer, and breast cancer. But very, very rarely will you hear a doctor telling you that to decrease those cancer risk factors, that you should back off your meat. They just don't tell you that.
Well, certain kinds of meat can digest better, like say your fish or your even your chicken and stuff. But you get into the red meat and the pork, well, it's harder for that meat to digest, you know. I noticed when I eat fish and vegetables together, it seems to work better as far as digesting the food is, rather than go and buy you a big old steak and eat a steak.
Yeah. Here's a trivia question for you. 4 ounces of skinless chicken breast and 4 ounces of sirloin steak. Which has more cholesterol in it?
I would say the steak.
Barely. And if you left the chicken, the skin on the chicken breast, you passed up the steak.
Huh. Oh, if you left the skin on it, yeah, it's worse for you. When I do eat chicken, I do eat
skinless. Yeah. But my point is, how many people have heard, oh, eat chicken, that's real low in cholesterol. You hear that all the time. And I don't know how many patients I would tell them when they came back and their cholesterol numbers weren't that good. Your cholesterol hasn't changed. And they said, well, doc, how can that be? I've been eating chicken.
And one thing I was eating when I was eating my vegetables and fruits and my grains, and I switched. Before I learned the thing about the unclean meat, I was eating in my salads or with my vegetables, I was eating shrimp.
Uh-huh.
And then when I went in and got my numbers, everything was a lot better. And that's supposed to be an unclean meat. But I understand because it's a bottom feeder.
Yeah.
But it didn't seem to affect my blood pressure or anything else.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yeah, again, getting rid of the foods and the substances that are not healthy for us and replacing them with better foods.
And a lot of the meats, the fake meats that you eat, is definitely not good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. One big thing you want to watch is sodium, and there's a lot of sodium in some of the vegetarian meats.
Sodium.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Is it better to stick with stuff that's been around for years?
Well, your farm-fed meat, if you're going to eat meat, you're better to eat that than go to the grocery store and buy it.
Well, I don't know if I'd say it's better to stick with things that have been around, but I would say that there can be fad habits or fad diets. Like we talked the other day about the keto diet, is kind of a newer diet, kind of a faddish diet. The South Beach diet was out a few years ago. Not that it's, I mean, it's still around, I'm sure. But so, every now and then somebody comes up with this great new idea. And the basic food pyramid really shouldn't be tampered with. The foods in that pyramid have a reason for whether you're eating a little bit of a lot of it in your diet. So when you want to lose weight or improve your health habits, look at taking out the poorer foods, the foods that have, like Dave mentioned, the higher cholesterol, the poorer digestion, and things like that. You want to get rid of those.
Chicken nuggets you buy at the store
because
it's processed.
Yep. Your processed meats, your lunch meats, your hot dogs, your chicken nuggets are typically not very healthy at all, or minimally healthy, I guess I would say. But
I just thought I'd voice my opinion. I didn't stress you anymore today, did I, buddy?
No, I'm okay. I'm okay, Dave. So.
Butters and sauces and stuff like this.
So when sausage and bacon, boy, you can get pretty sick to your stomach.
So okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Doc. Yep.
Question.
What's that, Randy?
When meat is taken in, does the body turn acidic? And that acidic part of the, while it's in the acidic state and high sugar, is that like feed cancer cells?
I can't remember exactly. I'm not sure exactly how the meat diet contributes to cancers. I think there are higher free radicals when you consume the meats and stuff like that, and the free radicals are not good for us.
And
there is some acidity to it, yeah.
When you eat the meat, the body starts to become acidic.
Yeah.
Well, and I suggest if you are going to eat some meat, to still make sure to take your grains in and take in your nuts and your fruits and your vegetables and they'll eat other stuff with it.
To have a balanced diet.
A lot of people just sit down and they'll have a meal with straight meat. They don't have the other stuff that helps with it.
Like bologna, for example. That's what I eat.
That's not good.
Yes.
What are the reasons to quit drinking coffee?
The reasons to quit drinking coffee, the two reasons that I would tell people in general are, number one, it's a stimulant, and number two, it's a diuretic. So it stimulates the body. It's an artificial stimulation, so it's harder on the heart and that. And then the diuretic, it's actually pulling off water from the body, so you have to drink more water to make up for that. It's interesting to me. I'm not a coffee drinker. I never have been. I love the smell of it. But I always chuckle when I talk to somebody at work or different places, and, I can't function. I haven't had my coffee yet. Don't talk to me. I haven't had a cup of coffee yet. Well, if that doesn't tell you that there's something not really good about it, I mean, you don't have to be a doctor at that point.
Somebody's got a temper.
I suggest if you're going to drink coffee because you like the taste of it or something or the smell of it, to go with a decaf.
The decaf would be better, but there still is some caffeine in it. Yes? I have that with me. It's in my car. I forgot to bring it in, but I have it with me. Yep. Thank you. Yep. So.
And I take something that's good when you get older and you get your vitamin D from it. It's called BioFlex.
Okay.
It helps with your joints, and plus you get your vitamin D that's right in there, too.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I want your opinion on that one.
You want my opinion on it?
Yeah.
Why? if I tell you it's bad, you're going to tell me why it's good, and then you won't listen to me, Dave. No, it's probably good. Your BioFlex is probably good. And I think that has maybe, does that have glucosamine in it?
I'm not sure. I just know it helps your joints, and then they got it now with vitamin D, and I took it for a few years because I think it helps with your arthritis.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I take something called glucosamine for my heel spurs, and I've had other patients that have used it for arthritic knees and stuff too. Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of supplements, which that's what the BioFlex is really, a supplement, that can and do have substances in them that can help with the arthritic knees, joints, and stuff like that, and yeah, that's fine.
Now, as far as your vitamins, I used to take a Centrum that was a hard capsule, and now I decided to take a Centrum that is a chewable.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it probably digests better, I would believe, in your system, a one-a-day vitamin to take a chewable instead of the solid form of the vitamin.
Yeah, I think either one is reasonable, and the only thing that concerns me with really vitamins. I think it's fine to take a vitamin. If it's approved by USP, that would be a good vitamin. I feel
in a Centrum form.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. What is USP?
USP is what? US Pharmaceuticals or something. I forget exactly what it is, but the trick is with the dietary supplements, the vitamins and that, they don't have to be approved by anyone. So Dr. Patterson can come up with a vitamin, and I can tell you all sorts of things, but it might not be true on any of that. Where USP would actually evaluate that vitamin to make sure that it has what it says it does in it. Because I really think there's a lot of very clever business people out there that have packaged up different types of vitamins and put them in a real cool package and then priced them at a price. And to me, I think the price kind of, with an unofficial study, but the price is about $50 a month. If I charge you $50 a month for something, it's got to be better than the one that you only pay 10 or 12 bucks for a month. And you can afford to do that. So people, I think people overpay a lot for vitamins. That's what I would say. And again, I truly think there are some great vitamins, and I think they have a good benefit for a lot of people. If you eat a real good, healthy diet, a balanced diet, you probably have minimal need for a vitamin. But if you don't have a real good diet, or if you do have trouble getting a hold of something in your diet, a vitamin's not a bad way to go. And like I say, I don't like people taking advantage of. And I don't like to spend any more money than I need to typically. So the big thing I would look for really with your supplements, if they're approved by the USP. Yep. Randy, you had a question or comment.
What is trigonosis? Not the side effects, but what is trigonosis actually like? And
well, we've gone to depression to eating pork. Trichinosis, trichinella is a parasite that grows in pork, and I believe it's in bear meat. Bear is very similar to pork. Mm-hmm. Dave mentioned earlier, some meats are hard to digest, and pork is one of those meats. Pork is not the other white meat. With Pork, it's not so much of a problem now, but it decays or spoils very quickly. And that's really where salt pork came from. They put so much salt in the pork that it killed all the bacteria so that it wouldn't spoil on you in 2 days or whatever. So now there is pasteurization and refrigeration and stuff so you can keep it from spoiling like it did before we had those modern technologies. But the effects of trichinella, I can't really tell you. I know that it can get into the brain. But yeah, it's not a good thing.
Arthritis
mm-hmm.
and trichinosis have similar pain, suffering, mm-hmm. stuff like that. So you could possibly get trichinosis and think you have arthritis.
It's possible. And it is interesting, again, what we eat does impact our body, not just our GI system. And several years ago, there was a gentleman, a young man, that was trying to hike the length of the North Country Trail. The North Country Trail starts in New York State and ends in North Dakota. And it actually goes down into Ohio, comes up through Michigan, across the bridge, and over into Minnesota and that. But he developed some hip pain. And he had a post, and I was kind of following him on the post. And I suggested when he got the hip pain, I suggested that he stop eating pork products. He didn't reply to me, and I know he didn't stop eating pork products. And I forget what he was finally diagnosed with. And I'm not saying that it was only related to that, but you're right. When we eat some foods, meat, it causes an inflammatory response. And arthritis is an inflammatory response. Now, I'm not saying they're exactly the same, but like Randy mentioned, they can be similar. So we can eat some foods that cause us an inflammatory response, and we may have it confused with another inflammatory response. But so does anybody want to shift a topic to something else now, or...
Another food that can spoil pretty quickly too is your chicken and your turkey and stuff like that. You know, like your turkey, they say if you're going to eat that, you do it in the refrigerator to thaw it out rather than set it out on the counter and let it thaw out before you make it.
Yeah. David?
I got a question. Does taking zinc help your fertility?
Zinc and vitamin D will help with that COVID.
I haven't heard that zinc helps with fertility, but I'm not a fertility specialist.
What?
I read in a book that it does.
Okay.
So.
And we have to be careful because I've said for years, and especially not that it wasn't true with books, but the internet. You have so much access to so much more information. And if somebody's good at doing a web page or whatever, boy, you can make something that is totally garbage look fantastic. But yeah, I hadn't heard that that it contributes to that. And again, for the average person to need to take something to help with infertility, well, if they don't have any problems, they're wasting their time. So if someone was trying to get pregnant and then have a child and they've tried for a couple years, then they might want to get some things checked out and see what it is that's causing the problem in the first place. That's kind of like asking me if putting oil in your car helps it run better. Well, yes, it does, but if you've already got a full crankcase of oil, adding another quart won't help. In fact, it'll be counterproductive. So you have to be careful sometimes about a general statement. I can say that your body will be better off if you don't eat pork. I can say that very safely and comfortably. But I can't tell you whether it's better for your health for you to eat more broccoli than carrots necessarily. part of it depends on what you like. For me to pick a food you don't like and say this is what you have to eat to be healthy is kind of ridiculous. There's very few foods that have a specific nutrient or vitamin in them that you can't get from any other source. So that's a wonderful thing that God's done for us. So if I don't like black-eyed peas, that doesn't mean I can't get any folate because I can get it from tofu.
That's a good question, David. That's a good question that you brought up.
So,
does it? I didn't know that.
So now we've gone.
Vitamins in your grains, that's really good for you. At least I know that much.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen.
The plant-based foods as much as possible.
And that's what we've been having all week.
Okay.
It's really, really been good.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Got to give thumbs up to the cooks now, folks.
That's for sure.
Yeah, because they did good, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Patterson. We appreciate
you
being
here. So we went from depression to try and stump the doc, I think.
Well, we all got our opinion, right, buddy?
Yeah, we do. And again, that it's... What I have to be careful with, and Dave, I was not at all trying to pick on you, but it's interesting because, and especially as we open the scriptures, for Larry and I to disagree on something in the scriptures, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, a lot of times you can do that, just like anything else. That's why you got to study them a little more and compare your notes.
Okay. What'd you say,
Brent?
It's really a good thing if we do it in a Christian attitude.
Yeah.
Because when Larry and I disagree on something, if we pray and study that God show us his truth, it's wonderful because we're both going to learn something.
Amen.
Now, if Larry and I both decide, well, I'm going to show Larry that I know the Bible better than him. And Larry says, well, I'm going to show Alan I know the Bible better than him. He's just a young whippersnapper. I remember when he was a little kid. I know the Bible better than him. That's a bad thing. So when we have our disagreements, if as we discuss and learn, we are looking for the truth, that's what's important. It's very easy, and Satan wants to make us selfish.
Yeah.
I want to be right.
And that's the problem in the churches today, because there's way too much bickering.
Right.
Because people don't decide to talk things over and agree. Right. They'll go, hey, guess what? Sparky did today.
Yep.
Telling someone over here. You know, then all of a sudden you start getting, what do you say about me?
Yep.
Well, or they'll say, guess what? Look what one did today. They'll do that too.
Yep. So truly, try not to just defend what we like or don't like, but try and find what's the best for us.
Watch our temperance.
Yep.
Because throwing a temper doesn't get you anywhere, and you really don't. I know that right now.
Like when I used to run into something, it was a curse word. Now it's, God, that felt good.
Well, I say that sometimes. I don't mean to say it, but I do.
Well, I learned a long time ago, a certain man, whenever he'd hit his finger, says, oh, that will feel so good when it stops hurting.
Well, you know what I would do when I was in the hospital, if I happened to be seeing a patient, when the nurse was starting the IV, I'd tell the patient, that's not going to hurt me a bit. Yeah, it usually did because they were in bed and couldn't catch me.
Sometimes when I drink imitation coffee, I say, God, that tastes good, that imitation coffee does.
Yeah.
I say that when I go for breakfast sometimes, I say, oh, God, that tastes good.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
But it's not good to say God all the time, though. That's
right. Yep. That should be said with respect and honor, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but I do say, so, like, oh, my gosh, you know. I say, oh, my gosh, you know. And
vegetarian swearing.
It's
Now, our next meeting is going to be at 6:30 today, and that's going to be the baptism.
Ooh. I've got to go down and get about 60 pounds of ice.
I was just thinking that, Pastor. You might have a plan. You might want to help Fred do this. Yeah, Pastor, doc,
well, that means they better get supper on pretty soon or we'll miss the baptism. You know that
goes. He's going right down there and get to the freezer right away. I can see it already. You know, I love you too, buddy.
I know you do, Dave.
Yeah. Well, we better quit. Okay. Lord, be with us now, between now and the next meeting, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's all in fun, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Larry.
David.
Mic on.
That's all for now. Bye-bye.
Mic off.